Hi, and welcome to our podcast. I'm Mr. Turner. Today we're going to look at Chapter 1, Section 2, The Rise of Modern Capitalism. This section can be found in your book on pages 90 through 97. The time period covered in your book is going to talk about the Commercial Revolution and the rise of capitalism. The book defines capitalism as an economic system in which money is invested in business to make profits. Capitalism really works as me as a seller, I create my product and I decide what price I'm going to sell it to you. So say I sell pencils and I decide to sell a pencil to you for $5 per pencil. You as a consumer can decide whether you're going to buy that pencil for $5 or not. And when you don't, I'll lower my price, or maybe you'll go into business and sell pencils for a quarter each, and then we'll have a war where I'll lower mine to 15 cents and the consumer buys and wins. Okay, so that's really kind of what capitalism is, more of a free market. You're also going to have the growth of banking during Chapter 1. You're going to have originally rich families like the Medici loan money to businesses and start to make money from the interest that they're bringing in. You're also going to have, your book mentions, a lot of Jewish families that do this too, that get into banking and different things like that. By the 1600s, governments created their own banks so that they could get in on this and start to make money and make the governments richer. So you've got all those things going on. You also have the creation of joint stock companies. Joint stock companies, quote from your book, enabled investors to share their profits and risks of a trading voyage. So when people are going to the New World, a lot of them are financed by joint stock companies, including the ones that originally come to America. A joint stock company allows you to invest in the company and then you share the profit. So I can't afford to back the entire voyage, but I can add some money into it and you add some money into it and our friends all add money into it. And if we combine all that money, we all have a good expedition. And when the expedition comes back with all the riches from the New World, we're going to share all that. It's going to create a new business class and the growth of the entrepreneurs. So businesses are going to grow and more individuals are going to get into business and start to make money. Now governments and trade, which is a section in Section 2, talks about mercantilism, the growth of mercantilism. And again, your book defines that as a nation's power come from building its supply of gold and silver. Truly, the economies of the 1400s are based on how much gold you have, how much silver you have. We call that bullion. How much of that you have, and that defined the wealth of the country. And because your country was rich, it became very powerful. So a lot of countries are going to sail to the New World to find valuable resources. Originally, they're looking for gold and silver because of the Spanish success in Mexico, where they found all that Inca and Aztec gold. But they're also going to find valuable resources, food, stuff, all those different types of things that we're going to look at on the next slide. This becomes known as the Columbian Exchange because of all the money coming from Colombia. So that's mercantilism, and Spain is going to be one of the richest countries in the world because of all the gold and silver. So for a long time, they're going to be the main power in Europe, but that's going to change. As more and more goods get traded from the Americas, we're going to have a lot of different things coming back, like wheat and oats and barley, rye and rice, a lot of good stuff coming back from the Americas, back into Europe. We're also going to have different animals, pigs and sheep and cattle, chicken and horses being shipped to the Americas and good stuff traded back and forth. We're also going to have corn, potatoes, and a lot of other vegetables. We'll talk about this in greater detail in the next chapter, but really what it does is look at all those different foods that are on this slide. They're all healthy foods. People are going to eat better. They're going to have a more balanced diet. They're eating more vegetables and fruit and protein, and life expectancies is going to grow, so people are going to be a lot healthier in the 1400s and later on the 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, even till today, where we're all eating healthier and living longer. And that's really a result of all this different trade going on between Europe and this new world back and forth. And again, we'll talk about that in greater detail in subsequent chapters, but you have to understand the growth of trade. As they started getting gold and silver as their main things, now look, they're getting great food substances, which they're being able to trade all through Europe and everywhere across the world. As a result of all this food and all these different things trading, you're going to have European culture and people spread. You're going to have the European languages, the European religions and values spread across the new world. And the British Empire is going to grow. We're going to talk about how next chapter. You're also going to have the beginning of the slave trade. Sugarcane, which is the crop seen on the slide, is a big crop in the Caribbean, but it's very difficult to grow and it's very labor intensive. A man named Bartolomé de las Casas is going to suggest using enslaved Africans instead of Native Americans or the Native Caribbean people. The Caribbean people and the Native Americans, both in North America, in South America, and in Mexico, all the natives didn't have a good immune system to all these European diseases. They'd never experienced any of them. Where Africans, because of the trip around Africa to try to get to China and India, and all the trading going on between Europe and Africa, had some of the immune system buildup to European diseases. So they weren't as sick and were able to weather that better. Between 10 to 12 million Africans were enslaved between 1450 and 1870. Slavery is an issue we're going to talk about in depth later on. Obviously, it's a terrible, terrible thing. And we're going to get into that in subsequent chapters. That's pretty much chapter 1, section 2 in a nutshell. Make sure you actually read the chapter so that you're squared away with it. There's a couple links you can click on throughout this podcast to learn more about the things we've covered. Thanks for listening. I'm Mr. Turner. We'll look forward to seeing you again soon. Please feel free to contact me with the email provided below. We'd love to hear from all of you listening across this country and across the world.